My guest today is Jennifer Marsman. Jennifer, how are you?
Hi, David. Thank you for having me again.
Oh, thanks for coming back. It's been a long time.
I know, right? It has.
What's that thing on your head?
Well, David, I am here at CodeStack, and I just did a talk on using EEG waves.
EEG is electroencephalograph.
Whoa, impressive that you know it. Yes, it's reading essentially the voltage.
It.
Very good. it's reading the voltage of your brain waves, essentially. And I'm taking that brainwave data and using it in conjunction with Azure Machine Learning to do something pretty cool.
Brainwaves. Azure Machine Learning.
Yes. So the talk that I just did was on an experiment I ran on my husband. So I put this headset on my husband.
It was a diabolical experiment?
Oh, it was very diabolical.
Okay, go ahead. Please proceed.
So I took this headset and put it on my husband, and I had him, and I was monitoring his EEG, his brainwaves. And then I did, I had him tell the truth a lot, and then I had him lie to me a lot.
Wanted your husband to lie.
Yes,
right.
I asked him to lie. So, and then I monitored all those things and used markers on the data to show when it was the truth and when it was lying and that sort of thing. And then I took that data of EEG when you're lying and EEG when you're telling the truth and put it into Azure Machine Learning.
Whoa.
And then wrote a predictive engine to be able to predict when telling the truth and when he's lying. So it was very, very cool.
What did you learn? Well, first of all, when you look at the data, the raw data ahead of time, you knew when he was telling the truth. You knew when he was lying. Could you, with the naked eye, see the patterns
yourself? No, I could not see the patterns myself with the naked eye. Yeah, not in the data.
Yeah. When their husband is lying.
Right. this particular experiment, I collected more data than I actually used. So there's a timestamp data. There is data collected for how well, like, the sensor, each sensor is touching the scalp. There's actually 14.
It's hard to see here.
I'm sorry. It is
here.
Hard to see because my hair is covering it.
Okay.
There's 14 different sensors here that are touching my scalp that correspond to different regions of the brain.
Oh, and so it's important where I place those.
Yes, okay. It is. You have to position it properly, and it's kind of we kind of did a fast put on here,
right.
There's 14 different channels, and so you can take that data, and then it's kind of known what, you know, sections of the brain are responsible for some different things. So, and sometimes it, you know, might make sense to filter out and only use certain channels. But for my experiment, I didn't really know, so I used all 14 channels of data, and then there's extra data that's collected, which is like timestamp of when you're collecting the data, the contact quality. So for each of these sensors, like if you don't put enough saline solution on them, because there is a little pad, and then the pad is wet down and placed against the scalp, and so if it's not wet enough, sometimes it has trouble making the reading.
I see. So the saline, the conductor electricity.
It just doesn't. It can't conduct. It can't make a reading as well. So I did that as well, and so each of those sensors. So there's 14 different contact qualities that come in as well. So that can be really good for data cleaning, where if there's some data where you're just not getting a good reading, just throw that out and only use good data when you're running the machine learning algorithm.
Well, how do you know if it's good or not?
Well, there's a contact quality column. So when the data is collected, some of the data that's coming off of the headset gives you the contact quality as well as the actual reading.
Okay.
And so the contact qualities show, I think it's a state of maybe 5 different things, of green when it's really good, and they convert these to a number.
Yeah.
And then there's like yellow, orange, red, black for progressively progressively worse for how well it can make a reading.
All right.
And so I have like all of this data.
Yep.
And then with Azure Machine Learning, there's just a number of different types of algorithms that are supported. And what I was trying to do specifically is something called the classification, where it's a type of supervised learning wherein you have a bunch of data with kind of a known right answer, meaning I fed him all this data where here's all this data of what his EEG, what his brainwaves look like when he was telling the truth, and then here's a bunch of examples of his brainwaves when he's lying.
Okay.
And then it can take, you know, those, you know, 14 different pieces, those channels, that different information, and then be able to pull, you know, figure out which ones are the most relevant and that sort of thing, and give me a classification of truth or lie.
Okay, so what's relevant basically means most highly correlated.
Yes.
Okay.
So there's those inputs kind of to the machine learning algorithm are called features, and then there's something called a label, and the label is what we're trying to predict. So in this case, I had a truth column in there, what I had filled in with whether it was he was telling the truth or lying, and then I told it to, okay, look at this, figure out the correlation, and And it's just different types of math. The different machine learning algorithms use just different types of math to figure out which is the best one. And okay. there's a really great resource online called the Azure Machine Learning Cheat Sheet. And that is really great for when you just don't know which algorithm to use. Okay. So you can kind of break it up by, you know, what kind of things do you want to do with your data. So in some cases, there's machine learning to do like clustering, and that's really great for recommendations.
That's
like
one of the algorithms.
Yeah. Clustering. Yeah, there's a k-means clustering algorithm.
Okay.
And in that particular thing, what it does is it can make clusters of, if you like movies A, B, and D, and I like movies A, B, and C, then maybe suggest C to you and suggest D to me, because we seem to have A and B in common. Okay. So things, that's a very simple example, but that on kind of a larger scale is what these clustering algorithms can do. So that's clustering, the kind of the first one, and that's an example of unsupervised learning. And then there's supervised learning, and classification, as I mentioned, is one type of that, and there's also regression. And the main differences between those are classification classifies things into discrete buckets.
Okay.
So, for example, truth or lie. Am I telling the truth or telling the lie? So it's two different buckets.
Well,
and then, that's true.
Sometimes.
It is almost a continuum sometimes. It's complicated, right?
With your set of questions, I assume.
Yeah, there was some data that did not make it into the public study with my husband. But the other type is regression. And regression essentially gives you the a continuum, right? It's not discrete buckets. It is a continuum of values. So think about like predicting the price of a house, for example. And in a housing example, you might have data that you're putting into the machine algorithm, like square footage and number of bedrooms, number of bathrooms, maybe zip code or some correlation of where it is, because housing market is very different in different parts of the country and such. So you could pass in all of that information, and then it would figure out, it would kind of draw correlations and find patterns and figure out kind of on a range, like I might put in a value where it's this house is worth $200,000 and this one is worth $400,000, but it could find specifically, okay, given all this data, when I pass it in new data, this house is worth, $256,000 or something, a value that I didn't necessarily prime it with.
Right.
So that's regression, where it finds those values on a continuum, like the money, versus the discrete buckets, like the truth or lie. So that's classification versus regression. And so there's a number of different algorithms within Azure Machine Learning to do either classification or regression. And there's also a couple algorithms for anomaly detection as well, which is kind of a subset of classification, where you may have very few negative examples, like one, you have these two categories, but one category is very rare. So for example, think about something like credit card fraud detection. You may have a database of credit card data, and the majority of it is going to be hopefully valid credit card transactions, and there might be only a very few instances of fraud that you've identified, but then you can pass that in, and basically those algorithms account for the fact that we have very few negative examples, or very few examples in that category, and can kind of extrapolate for those and make up for that fact. So that's anomaly detection specifically, and there's support for that as well in Azure, in the Azure Machine Learning thing. So it's been very cool and a lot of fun to play with. It's really easy to get started.
It's really interesting that your first run pass through it, the data was too good. The results were too perfect.
That's a great point. So when I first ran through the data the first time, I passed in all of the data that was coming off of this headset, just put it all in just to see what would happen. And what happened was, not only the EEG data is coming in, but there's also a timestamp and contact quality and some of these other things, other pieces of data that the headset is reading. And so when I'd run the experiment on my husband, what happened was I ran it through first and had him do, tell me the truth to all of these questions. And then we ran it as truth. And then I redid it and ran it again with lies.
Same questions
with lies, and had a lying response. And so since timestamp, what I'm guessing happened, I don't know for certain, but what I'm guessing happened is that it took a look at the timestamp, and you can very easily, with like a decision tree, say, okay, if the timestamp is before this time, then it's a truth, and otherwise it's a lie. And it was 100% correlated. And I looked at that in EEG. I mean, it's intrinsically very noisy. It's brainwaves. It's very noisy data.
It should never be
perfect like that. Exactly. So there was zero. So I'm pretty sure that what it was doing was it found that the timestamp was highly correlated and was using that as the predictor. And I know that's not right. So I went back then and removed the timestamp information and did a little more data cleaning, removed timestamp, removed content quality, removed everything except for the values coming from these 14 channels on the headset, and then ran it again, and the data then was much more realistic, where we saw a nice curve with some positive and negative responses.
All right. And then are you able to use this then to predict when he's lying?
I can. I mean, in general, it's not a very thing. I would have to get it on him.
Yes. Deliberately try.
Yes. I have not done that to the complete thing, so
that'd
won't.
Be a relatively
I won't.
Benign use. Of
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
Less
yeah.
diabolical than the one I was thinking.
Yeah. No, I will definitely be doing that. It's not, I've actually had, we've both been very busy lately, so I've had time,
well,
both of us home at the same time. Maybe that's it. Maybe he's trying to get out of doing my experiments.
One way to find out.
Yeah, right. I realize I haven't told you much about this headset. This headset is made by a company called Emotive. It's called the Epic.
It's falling off. You can take it off.
Yeah, is it falling off? Ah, sorry. Yeah, all right. I didn't really. We kind of rushed to put it together. Oh, whoops. It's made by a company called Emotive, and it's really neat. It's a high quality thing.
Is it expensive?
If you want to buy just the headset, I believe that's $200 or $300 just to get a consumer headset.
Okay.
If you want to buy it as a developer and get access to the SDKs as well, that is $500.
Okay.
And then if you want access to the raw EEG data, which I did to do these experiments, that's an extra $300 as well. So it comes to like about $800 with the raw EEG and the developer SDK and the headset itself.
Were you using the developer SDK?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Actually, for this experiment, I did but there's other things. There's APIs that surface things like facial recognition, because as your face moves, it picks up kind of those things are picked up as well. You can pick up like blinks and smiles and stuff like that sometimes. And then there's also support for just kind of how engaged versus disengaged you are, that sort of thing. And then support for mapping EEG to actions. There's a neat piece of software that shows like a virtual ball, and you can train it while, so you test kind of run it once to get your kind of your brain state at kind of a neutral state where you're not thinking particularly about anything, just kind of relaxing, and then run it again and say, okay, kind of record whatever I'm thinking. And so there's one of like pulling the ball towards you. And so, you know, you think just pull. And then it records you thinking that pull. And of course it doesn't have to be pull. You could be thinking hamster, but as long as you can consistently repeat that whenever you want the ball to pull, it will do that. So, It's a really neat piece of software.
That's really unbelievable.
It really is cool.
So people want to learn more about this, and I know you're speaking a lot about it, and you're writing a lot about it.
Yes. So you can go to my blog, which is blogs.msdn.com/Jennifer. And I'm going to be, an article or two already out, and then I have more coming just on machine learning and getting started with it and that sort of thing. I also have a series of like Channel 9 videos that I'll be doing to help you get started as well, where I screencast and show a little of that stuff getting started as well. So you're welcome to follow that, and I should be publishing everything on my blog, so that's a good place to go and look, and I'll be pointing to the other resources from there.
Are you going to be giving this talk again around the country somewhere?
Yes, I am. I've given it I think twice already at Self Conference in Detroit, and here in Knoxville at CodeStock. And I'm also going to be giving it at MLConf in Atlanta, which is a big machine learning conference. And probably other places in the future I plan to submit to a bunch of conferences, because it's really fun stuff. It's been fun to learn and play with.
It's pretty fun to watch as well.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Jennifer, thank you so much.
Thank you, David. Take care. Technology and Friends.